I'm going to do, I was trying to think of what to call it. There are like three little parts, talklets, if you will. I don't think that's a word, but hey, there we go. We're going to do that. And we're just going to start with the first one. What I'm trying to do this morning is give us a bit of a recap of where we've been since January. And our first slide tells us one of the things that we have been thinking through. And that is that God is not unknown or unknowable. God is not unknown or unknowable. In fact, we've been learning that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That wasn't too difficult, was it? That's good. Some of these might be harder, and we will see how we go. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's not a test. It's not a test. It's a quiz. Does that make it better? I don't know. A special quiz. There's no prize other than the good feeling of remembering. So yeah, our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we've been learning that God isn't a what to be figured out, but a who invites us into relationship through Jesus. And we started way back in January with this verse, which says that because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thought about God our Father, and I don't know if people might still think of God the Father a bit like this on the right. I don't know. What do you think? Does that fit with your picture of God? I hope not. Chair was right, because that's actually Zeus, the Greek god Zeus. So if this is who you picture when you picture Father God, we want to go and invite you into a fuller picture of God our Father. To be fair, there are some other historical artworks that do depict God the Father a little bit like this. But yeah, that one is Zeus, who is not who we're here to worship this morning, you'll be glad to know. We were learning that God isn't male, but there's a consistent witness through the Old and New Testament of God's fatherly care for Israel and to us in Christ. Christians have tended to understand God's fatherhood as a metaphor, so it speaks to us of the roles that a parent might play in giving life and care, such as protection and provision. God is described in motherly ways too, as a kind of breastfeeding mother, and also as a mother who comforts her children. And through Jesus's prayer, we're invited to call God our Father. That's the prayer that we've been praying through Thy Kingdom Come. We recognize God as the source of life, and we receive his care as our sons and daughters. And Muriel spoke to us about encountering God as Father in the context of her life story. We thought about God, who is Father of a
family.
Yeah, God who is Father of a family. So with Bob, we were invited to pray our Father, not just my Father. Through the Father, we're adopted into God's family. We have siblings. There are no only children in God's family. So have a little look around. People always do this, don't they? Have a look around. We have siblings. For all the joy and pain, we have siblings in God's family. And we're called to live out this unity and diversity of God in this family that he's made. God's family on earth as it is in heaven. And this can be challenging. Can it be challenging? Oh, no, okay. No, people, that was very quiet, yes. We're not confident about saying that it's challenging. I mean, I think it can be. It can be challenging, but God included us. And so how could we turn away from those that he has included? With Laura, we thought about God, Father of lights. Yeah, God, Father of lights. That God is a good father. He is generous and giving and faithful and makes himself known to us. And we don't need to fear that there's a kind of nice Jesus and a nasty God kind of standing behind somewhere, or a shadowy part of God that's unseen. There is no darkness in him, and so we can trust him and receive from him and be brought into his light. So, Father of Lights, is this good news?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Pick one of these that speaks to you, and if you feel comfortable to, just share with the person next to you, why is this good news to you today? Okay, so we're going to bring this good news that's come to us and start to express that goodness and perhaps the joy and thankfulness that kind of comes up in us as we think about this. We're just going to continue in that sense of honouring the God who is. With Sim and Emily, we thought about the fact that we're made one with Jesus and the grace and peace that flows to us from the Father. And that grace and peace that flow from the Father to the Son flow through us and out in love for others. And we thought about here that we are something and something in Christ. This one might be harder. Any guesses welcome, preferably not heretical. Redeemed. Redeemed is a good R word, and it would fit. It's not the one that I have. Restored. Forgiven is right. We're also restored. And there are lots of good R ones, aren't there?
Rescued.
I had rescued, yeah, rescued and forgiven, and all good answers, all true answers, praise God. So God's grace to us in Jesus comes to us through the peace made at the cross, and everything that was against us and everything that needed to be dealt with in us is brought into the life of God. And with Cheryl, God the Son is Christ over all. I put that in capitals because it was all. This is a picture from the James Webb Telescope. I think you use pictures from that too. Creator becomes part of creation, incarnated. I will never forget, we will quote this, I'm sure, for a long time, Maria. God con carne, God with meat. Creator and reconciler of all things to himself. Head of the church, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ over all. And hopefully this one will be... Oh, I went too fast. I missed one out. Okay, that was meant to be one you could guess. But then, But it's no secret, is it? Jesus was raised from the dead. So with Christine and Maria on Easter Sunday, the cross, the resurrection, the great reversal, what looked like the death of God, the humiliation of the one who would be God, was triumphed. There was the triumph over the powers and authorities. So the public witness to Jesus's triumph. We were dead in sins and we've been made alive with Christ. Our story, our life, finds its end and new beginning in his story and life. And so we continue in him, rooted and built up, strengthened and overflowing with thankfulness. Yeah, with thankfulness. Amen. So this is God the Son. One of the things that I've been thinking about as we've been praying with Thy Kingdom Come and heaven coming to earth is the idea of Christ over all. And I'm reminded that one of the things that Paul instructs Timothy to do is to pray for all who have authority. And Christ is over all. And so we pray for those in authority, knowing that God is over them. But why do we pray for people in authority? Paul says, I tell you to pray for all people. Ask God for the things people need and be thankful to him. You should pray for kings and for all who have authority. Pray for the leaders so that we can have quiet and peaceful lives, lives full of worship and respect for God. This is good, and it pleases God our Saviour. God wants all people to be saved, and he wants everyone to know the truth. And I think Paul's seeing in this sense of quiet and peaceful lives, lives that are kind of not disrupted, an opportunity for the unhindered flow of the gospel out. We know that the gospel flows out even in the most difficult of circumstances, but it seems like kind of Paul is seeking here a situation of peace so that it can be even more possible, not that anything can hinder the gospel, but that all people might be saved. That's God's desire. And so I thought what we could do now is just take a bit of time, kind of quietly, individually, to pray for kings and for all who have authority. We can pray for the leaders. So it might be that you want to think who comes to mind in this country or in other countries, in this area or in other places. Who we don't always kind of think about people as having authority over us in that way. We might think of ourselves more as citizens than subjects. But nevertheless, people have significant influence in our lives and can make the common flourishing kind of more or less possible. So have a think, who comes to mind for you? And we'll just take a minute or two just to pray individually, pray quietly ourselves. Father, we recognize today that you have set Christ to be over all. That through his blood on the cross, all things are being reconciled to him. We pray that you would restrain and undo the influence of unjust authorities, wherever they might be. And we pray that you would prosper and build up and strengthen those who are acting for the common good. We pray that your gospel would go out to the ends of the earth. We thank you that we are people who are the ends of the earth, as it were, to the first believers. We thank you that the good news has come to us. Amen. So our last part of the Trinity series was about the Holy Spirit. And in our first talk, we had a Q&A, brilliant Q&A with Chris. And we thought about the something of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, but God, and can be resisted, quenched, and grieved. The Holy Spirit is involved in creation, redemption, and new creation, when we're born again in Christ, in giving us the scriptures, in bringing us into truth as the comforter, helper, bringer of conviction, empowerment. The list is quite long. The Holy Spirit does a lot. God does a lot in our lives. The bringer of conviction, empowerment, who makes us bold and who makes us holy so that we grow up into Christ, reflecting his nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and also are equipped to serve the gifts of the Spirit. We also thought with Norman about the Spirit that brings fire. I know, I put this picture in and I realised then with the F it could trip people up. It was not on purpose, I promise. I wasn't trying to trick you. Freedom. And I know that we often think of freedom as freedom from sin, and that's obviously completely right. That's kind of very biblical. We were thinking in Romans that we're freed from the law of sin and death and freed to live out the law of Christ, to live out love. And we have the Spirit's help and comfort and enabling. But the reason I chose this picture is because I was thinking about some anxiety that I was experiencing and thinking about how in some churches that I've been in and some Christians that I meet, I think sometimes we can be like quite a kind of anxious bunch. And then I thought how wrong that is because what characterized those first believers was the Spirit coming on them and they were bold. Like they were bold in their speech, weren't they? And this is not kind of trying to make you or me or anyone feel bad for feeling anxious. We feel what we feel, but it speaks to the kind of the wrongness of anxiety as something that can grip our lives that isn't from God. And God's desire for us to live in freedom. And freedom might look like a lot of different things. Here, it looks like the freedom to speak and to live on earth as in heaven, for the fire of God to touch our lives and the gospel to go out into the world. I'm using a picture again because I feel like it works as well. We also learnt last week with Rebecca and Maria about the Spirit of... what was that one? Adoption. A dolphin? the Spirit of adoption. Yeah. So we're made God's children. We're not meant to be controlled by fear as slaves or by control or force, but children of God. And that's not simply a kind of legal transaction, but a kind of lived reality. The Spirit himself joins with our spirits to say that we are God's children. It's a beautiful thing. So, as we thought of before, the Father adopts us into God's family, and we are called to kind of live out that life of God together. So we have the person of the Spirit, and the Spirit that brings freedom, and the Spirit of adoption. So I come back to this. Because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And we've been picking up a few verses kind of through Romans with the aspects of the Spirit. And that chapter ends with this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As a way of expressing and kind of receiving that reality that kind of gone is this separation, here is this unity, this being brought together, we're going to take communion together.